Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yudzayin Amud Aleph. Gemara here is continuing to search for the sources of the psulim that we found in the Mishnah. The next one that they're looking at is Tvul Yom, that a Tvul Yom is also disqualified from doing Avodah in the Mikdash. In addition, they would be Mechalel, the Avodah, if they did it. It's Pasul, the Avodah, if it's done by a Tvul Yom. A Tvul Yom is someone who is Tamei, has gone to the Mikveh on the last day of their Tumah. Now, if that's someone who only has one day of Tumah, then it's on the day of being Tamei. If there's someone who has 7 days of Tumah, then it'll be on the seventh day they go to the Mikveh. They are then a Tvul Yom, which is waiting for Herev Shemesh. They have gone to the Mikveh. They are waiting now for the sun to set in order for them to be fully Tahor. There are some instances where that Tumah will persist a little further if they're what's called Mechuser Kupurim. There's actually three levels or gradations of the Tumah being reduced. There is the Tumah itself, which the person is Tamei. On that last day, they become a Tvul Yom when they go to the Mikveh, which then reduces the level of their Tumah. It does permit them to do certain things. We're going to see today, and it permits them to be involved with the Para Atumah. It also permits them to consume Maaser. It gives them certain rights. They are still Tmeim, Sheni L'Tumah. They do affect Trumah. They're still not allowed to eat Trumah. Trumah only becomes something that they can partake in once there is sunset, Herev Shemesh, on that day. That's the first Mishnah in Brachot, that Mishnah Kohanim Nifnasim Lechol B'Trumatan. That's the time period for Kriyat Shema. That's Herev Shemesh. When the sun sets on that day, then they become Tehorim to consume or to partake in Trumah. If they are someone who requires a Korban to be brought on the eighth day, then they are what's called Mechuser Kippurim. They lack the kapara that will be brought by the korban that's brought on the eighth day. Then mechuser kibbarim is mutar in truma, but it's still asur b'kodushim, asur likanes lemikdash, and to partake in kodushim. Those are the different gradations of truma that you have. Here, we're asking about a tvul yom, that gradation of truma. How do we know that they're disqualified from doing avoda in the mikdash? And if they do that, then they are pusel. They invalidate the avodah that is being done. So Tosfot over here says he's not sure why the Gemara has a question here as Tvul Yom Minalon. Why don't we just use the premise that Tema, typically Mitiv Gabe Tvul Yom, Ubah Shemesh Mutaher, Miklal Shu Tamei. The fact that the sun needs to set for him to be Tahor implies that he is Tamei. Once he's classified as a Tamei, then he has the same din as a Tamei that's doing avodah. And why should it matter that he's a Tvul Yom? So the Baal Tosfot will first bring from the Beinu Chaim, based on the Gemara at the way beginning of Brachot, that Ubah Shemesh Mitaher, there are two options as to what Mitaher means. Does Taher mean Taher Yoma, that the day passes, or Taher means that the individual becomes Tahor? If you interpret it in that alternative way, it doesn't then give you the indication that Tvul Yom is Tamei. But Tosfot themselves, going through many different iterations, in the end says, Gemara, it's a Kra, Gabi Avodah. That you need a pasuk by avoda to tell us that it is mechulal. That there is no question that Tvul Yom is Tamei. That we're not questioning. The issue is that a Tvul Yom who is Tamei, does he also posel the avoda and profane it and mechalel it? And that's what the Gemara is searching for. Not searching for the fact that he is Tamei, find other differentiations within Tvul Yom that would then indicate that maybe he does not have the same status as a complete Tamei. And so that's what the Gemara is searching for, is how do you know that it's Mechalel Avodah, not the fact that he is Tamei. Tanya, Rabbi Simai Omer, Remes L'Tvul Yom, Shimavad Chilel Minayin. Where do we find a hint? Over here, likely the word Remes is not used like it's used in other places in Shas, but Remes is an Asmakta. It is a hint to it, it's not a real proof. Here he seems to bring a full-fledged source to the fact that a Tvul Yom is Mechalel Avodah. Remes Tvul Yom Shimavad Chilel. He does a voda that he is Mechalel, he invalidates it completely. Minayin. Tamalomar, the pasuk says, Kedushim Yiyu Velo Yichalelu. So here they're quoting again the Pesukim from Parshat Emor. And it says, right after, it says, Lo Yitama Bal Be'amav Leichalo. Lo Yikrachu Korcha Berosham. Ubat Zeganam Lo Yigalechu. Ubib Saram Lo Yisritu Sarate. Kedushim Yiyu Lelokeyem Velo Yichalelu Shem Elokeyem. Ki et ishei Hashem lechem elokeyem heimakrivim vayukodesh. So here you have a pasuk that tells you that there'll be kedoshim yiyu lelokeyem velo yichalelu, and then they will not profane. If you don't need it for a person who is tamei, b'denafik, because that you already have on the pasuk, which explicitly deals with tuma, which is vayinazru. Just further on in Parshat Emor, says vayidaber Hashem Moshe lemor, daber el Aron vel banav, vayinazru mikodshei bnei Israel, velo yichalalu Hashem kodshi, Hashem makdishim li ani Hashem. So here you have it explicitly, vayinazru mikodshei bnei Israel. They have to separate away from the kodashim of bnei Israel, velo yichalalu, so they do not profane it. There you dealt with tuma already. So if you already know about tuma, then this pasuk by kedushim yu lelokehem velo yichalalu shem lelokehem, that's not necessary for tuma. Then you should take it and use it for something that is similar to tuma, but doesn't have the same properties as tuma, which is tvoyom, which is a reduced level of tuma. Ema, how do you know that it's tvoyom? Once you say something is not necessary, and now you're going to commandeer it to be used for another halakha, how do you know which halakha it is? So generally, try to pick a halakha that is similar in nature, that has same properties, that's very correlated. Tvoyom obviously is very correlated with tuma, but you do have something that is juxtaposed or immediately preceding this pasuk, and that is emas neuli inu koreach kocha ulamashkit baat zakan. Maybe you should use it for the pasuk that is mentioned right before that, which would be lo yikrachu korcha birosham ubaat zakanam lo yigalechu ubibzaram lo yisrutu sarate kedoshim yu lelukechem velo yichalulu. From that, you would suggest that the pasuk that's telling you that they are profaning the avoda is because they violated these other rules. Now, even though these other rules have application to Bnei Israel in general, because we know from Parshat Kiddushim that there's a restriction on anyone from having Yikruchu Karcha or Patsuganam Lo Yigalechu, that has application to everyone. Nevertheless, there is a specific imperative to the Kohanim, and it seems, based on the Pshat HaPsukim, that actually disqualifies the Kohen from performing the Avodah. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, when he discusses these issues, says that these were practices of the Kohanei Avodah Zarah. You can understand why the Torah would put emphasis on the Kohanim not doing this, and you could even maybe even understand why it would disqualify the Avodah of a Kohen if he acts like a Kohen of Avodah Zarah. Exactly what we don't want, and therefore if he is doing those activities which are against the Torah, against the ruach of what we want a Kohen to be when he's an Obed Hashem, then we can understand maybe why Yichalulu, that would profane the Avodah. Nevertheless, our Gemara clearly right now is going to reject that view, but it still, if you look at the Mefarshei HaTorah, still has residuals of that in it, that the correlation, the connection between Kedoshim Yilu Kehem Velo Yichalulu, connected to the previous Pasuk, even though the Gemara here will reject that and say, Voyom, Demavad b'mita minolon. How do we know that it's Boyom that does avoda in the Mikdash is subject to a chiyuv mita de shemayim? The gemar chilul mitruma. Learn out the gzeir shava of chilul from truma. How do we know that a Boyom that does avoda in the Mikdash is subject to mita de shemayim? And as Rashi notes, that is shinuyahu. That is an answer. Omar, lo matzit mitnei tnei inyan lekoreach karka. And that the source for the fact that a tvo yom is chayav mitam when he does a voda is from the word chilul that is found in that pasuk. That correlation between the word chalala over here, which says velo yichalulu shem elokehem, and then velo yichalulu shem kodshi, which is also found by tuma, and then the pasuk that's found by tuma that says that's how you know that by truma, that pasuk that's written a little further on in Emor, Chafet Tet, that there you have an instruction that if one violates the sanctity of the truma, each truma b'tumatagu, then they are made to bow. They're subject to a chiyuv mita b'dei shemayim ki yichalulu when they profane it. Now we have a sefer shava of chilul. The chilul that's mentioned there, and the chilul that's mentioned in the pasuk over here that we're quoting, that teaches us that there is a chiyuv mita. So now, if that is the source for it, it's clear that this pasuk is speaking about tvoyom and not speaking about korea karcha. The Gemar chiluk hu mitruman. The Gemara says the pasul b'truma mechil avodah. The low pasul b'truma lo mechil avodah. Someone who is pasul to eat truma, they cause a profaning of the avodah. Now, a tvul yom, as we mentioned before, is restricted from consuming truma. He's only allowed to eat truma once there's Herev Shemesh, once the sun sets on him. That is because it says, Rabba Shemesh v'taher, that the sun sets, he will be tahor. Tahor now is that he is able to consume truma. Again, that's the first Mishnah in Brachot. The lo pasul b'truma, someone who's not disqualified from truma, lo machil avodah. It doesn't profane the avodah. Koreach karka and hashkatat patzakan, those aren't issues for eating truma. One who does any of these items is not disqualified from eating truma, is not pasul from eating truma. The pasul can't be speaking about them, because otherwise, zer shavah v'chilul, chilul doesn't make any sense. The fact that you correlate it with truma means it has to be something that is also impactful with regards to truma. Voyom is impactful. Voyom can't have truma because it's a sheni the truma, and that will make a shlishi the truma, which is applicable by truma. For that reason, the pasuk must be speaking about a tvul yom. Right, it's not as obvious at face value that the pasuk is speaking about tvul yom, but once we have determined that it's speaking about truma, and we've determined that it is speaking about something that has impact on truma because of the gzer shav of chilul chilul, and the fact that whoever does this is going to be chayav mita bidei shamayim, then the appropriate way to nail the inyan acher is to assume it's speaking about tvul yom, and not speaking about the psukim before, which are lo yikachu korcha upatz ganam lo yikalechu. That's not going to be relevant here because they have no mita bidei shemayim for doing that. And number two is they don't have any relevance by truma. They don't affect truma because they're not tmeim, which is the main impact on truma is someone who is tmei can't consume it or makes it into something that is pasul if they come into contact with it. Now, Amar Rabba, Lomali Dikhtav Rachmana Tamei, Utvul Yom, Umechusar Kippurim. Why does the Torah have to tell you that all three of these items are disqualified from doing avodah, and that if they do the avodah, then they will be Mekalel the avodah? And as Rashi notes off the bat, a Tamei Lokami Baile. About a Tamei, the Gemara is not asking at all. It's clear that you need the source for Tuma because of what we just did before in the Gemara. The Gemara just said that in the Inuinian Tamei, it's nailed the Indian Tvul Yom. Which means since we don't need it for a Tamei, we can use it for Tvul Yom. Implying if we didn't have another Pasuk for Tamei, then you would have used this Pasuk for Tamei, and Tvul Yom would be out. So it's clear that Tuma, we need the Pasuk for, and you'll see in the questioning of the Gemara never comes around to asking about why do we have a Pasuk of Tuma. The real question is Tvul Yom and Mechusar Kippurim. Why do we do those psukim? If someone who is tamei is disqualified, aren't they also tameim? They might be lower forms of tuma, but they're still tamei. If that's the case, they should have been disqualified. Srichi, the ikat of Rachmana tamei, had the Torah just written that a tamei is disqualified from avodah, and in Valdez avodah, she can't be tamei. The reason maybe that is because he can convey tuma. Not only is he a recipient of tuma, he also is a conveyor of tuma. That's a good question. There is a difference between a tvul yom and a regular person that is tamei. Person who is tamei is usually someone in the classification of an avatuma or a rishon tuma, and they're able to convey that tuma forward. If they're an avatuma, they either create a rishon tuma. The rishon tuma, they create a sheni tuma. There's certain instances where they create tuma that's equal to their level. That's the gemara in Baba Kama and other places that discuss im todu hadam piyotzivam or lav piyotzivam. Are their derivatives the same as the avot, or they are stepped down from the avot? Generally, in tuma, it's a step down. With regards to someone who's tamei, they can convey tuma. The tvul yom, it is different, because a tvul yom himself is a sheni the tuma. The tvul yom is a sheni the tuma. As far as chulin is concerned, tuma ends at sheni the tuma. First of all, he cannot be mitamei anything in chulin, because he is a sheni the tuma. He is able to be mitamei truma. Tuma, because Tuma goes down an extra level, as an extra level of Tuma, beyond Hulin, which is it goes to a Shlishi Lituma. Kodushim has a step above that, which it goes to Revi Lituma, which is not true by Tuma. And then Paraduma has the highest level where it goes to a Chamishi Lituma. Now, when you get to what's called the last stage of Tuma, it's no longer called Tamei, it is called Pasul. So if you can convey Tumah to something, but that would be the end of the line of Tumah, then that's called being Posel. So a Tvul Yom, who is a Sheni with Tumah, is Posel Tumah. That is because the end of the line for Tumah is Shlishi the Tumah. That means if the Tvul Yom comes into contact with the Tumah, he will make the Tumah Tamei, but that's it. That Tumah will no longer convey Tumah forward because it's already at the lowest level. The difference is that a Tamei is mitamei. A Tamei can convey Tumah forward, but conveying Tumah forward means that they can imbue something with Tumah that can then pass it to something else. On the other hand, a Tvul Yom is only Pusel. He does not create Tumah, meaning that in the sense that Tumah can pass it forward, he simply disqualifies the item that he touches, which is the Tumah. That's why a Tvul Yom is not the same as Tamei, that is mitamei. But also, a Tvul Yom is on a different level than a Mechusar Kippurim, because a Tvul Yom is Pusel Tumah, whereas a Mechusar Kippurim would not even be Pusel Tumah. Therefore, Tvul Yom Mechusar Kippurim lo ataminei. So by a Tvul Yom Mechusar Kippurim can't be derived from it, Shekein Pusel b'Tumah, because Tvul Yom has a Chumrah that is not there by a Mechusar Kippurim. Therefore, just because you know that a Tvul Yom is disqualified, doesn't mean that a Mechusar Kippurim would be disqualified, because a Tvul Yom has a higher level of Tumah, that he is Pusel de Tumah. Mechusar Kippurim, Tvul Yom la'atiminei, if you just had Mechusar Kippurim, so now you would think, if Mechusar Kippurim is disqualified, certainly a Tvul Yom is disqualified, la'atiminei, that you can't do, shekein Mechusar Maaseh, because it lacks an action. The difference between a Tvul Yom and a Mechusar Kippurim is, how do you become Tahor going forward? For a Tvul Yom, he has to do absolutely nothing. He's already gone to the mikveh. All he has to wait for to happen is the sun to set. That is something that happens memela. That is something that happens irrespective of any action he takes. The sun will set that day and make him tahor. On the other hand, a mechuser kippurim is what we call mechuser maaseh. He lacks an action. He must bring the korbanot in order to make himself tahor. If he does nothing, he will remain a mechuser kippurim. Until he brings the korbanot, he will not become tahor. He is Mechusar HaMaseh. So if you only knew about it from Mechusar Kippurim, then you wouldn't necessarily extrapolate that to Tvul Yom, even though Tvul Yom is a higher level of Tumah, but the ability to become Tahor from a Tvul Yom is something that happens in Memela, as opposed to Mechusar Kippurim, where you'd have to take action in order to rectify the situation. Where it says, Michad Elohati, pretty clear here, that if you had any one of them by themselves, you cannot learn the others out from it. Let us only learn one out of two. Say that you only need two of them, the third one would be able to be learned from it. Which one exactly do you want the Torah to leave out? So let's leave out Mechusar Kippurim. And you learn out of the other two, being Tamei and Tvul Yom, you learn it from that. Both someone who is Tamei, as well as someone who is a Tvul Yom, can be Posel Tumah. But that's not true by Mechusar Kippurim. So you wouldn't be able to learn Mechusar Kippurim. It's on a lower level than these two. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to learn from them. Ela lo lichto rachmanim Tvul Yom. Let the Torah leave out Tvul Yom. Tete mihana. And learn it out of Tamei and Mechusar Kippurim. The Maiparach. So what are you going to say? What's the common denominator between Tamei and Mechusar Kippurim that might not let you learn out Tvul Yom from it? The answer is that they both are missing a maaseh. For the Tamei to become Tahor, he's got to go to the mikveh. For the Mechusar Kippurim to become Tahor, he's got to bring his korbanot. As opposed to a Tvul Yom who passively will become Tahor as soon as the sun sets. So maybe that is a Chumrah that would disqualify those two, but allow a Tvul Yom not to be disqualified. So, Klisha La Tumatan. In the end, you have a reduced level of Tum'ah. Despite the fact that you're speaking about Mechusar Maaseh, which, again, before we said you couldn't learn from Mechusar Kippurim to Tvul Yom because of Mechusar Maaseh, now the Gemara, in a sense, is discarding that and saying, so, Klishala Tum'ato, that Mechusar Kippurim is just a lower level of Tum'ah than a Tvul Yom. And that is because a Tvul Yom goes through the mikveh, and then the sun set. When the sun set, there was a reduction in the Tum'ah. So whatever you think of Mechusar Kippurim, it's got to be lower than Tvul Yom. Even if you claim it is Mechusar Maaseh, even if it's lacking in a maset to cure the problem, nevertheless, it's still a lower level of tumah than tevul yom. Because anybody who was going to be a mechusar kiburim had to pass through tevul yom to get there, and the sun set on them. So how could it be that you could say mechusar kiburim is more chamur than tevul yom? Doesn't make sense. If the disqualification here in all three instances is a problem of tumah, so you have the highest level of tumah, then you have a tevul yom, then you have a mechusar kiburim. If the lowest level of tumah is disqualified, then the level of tumah above that should also be disqualified. Then you'd have to explain, why can't you just then learn out tevul yom from mechusar kiburim? So the Shita Mekubet said, in Od Vav, actually addresses this issue, and he says, Yosh Lamar, Lo Dami Le'el, Gabi mechusar kiburim. Not similar there. Return to Mar Mechuser Maaseh She Mechuser Kapara. Mechuser, the definition of Mechuser Maaseh there wasn't that he didn't do the action of the Korban, but he lacks Kapara. Mashgeinu came with Tvuyom, which is not true by Tvuyom. There's nothing he can do. There's no Kapara lacking over here. Abel Halka, in our case here, where we're speaking about the Matzad, Mechuser Maaseh the Kamar, Eino Return to Mar Mechuser Kapara. Mechuser Maaseh is not that they lack some sort of Kapara. That Tamei la mechuser kaparahu. Because the Tamei is not someone who's mechuser kapara. Kigon, Tamei sheretz, v'tamei meit, umagat zav. So Lamar, she came mechuser maaseh yoter mitvuyom. That he lacks an action that is to be required by a tvuyom. Because the shimshim emei larva, because the sun sets by itself. Yoka kamar shafi or klisha tumata. That the lower level of tuma overrides or renders irrelevant the fact that there is a maaseh needed versus the passive element of a tevul yom. In essence, that the mechusar kapara or the bringing of the korban is not necessarily associated directly with the tumah. And that is because we find other manifestations of tumah, like tumat sheretz, tumat meit, magazav, which are tumot, that don't require kapara. So it's not the tumah that is generating the lack of kapara. And therefore, here you can learn from the mechusar kipurim, because it's a question of not whether mechusar kapara is a different standing, but rather because we're trying to learn from the concepts of tumah. Over there, the mechusar kipurim is a lower level of tumah. Being a lower level of tumah will allow you then through a matzah, through tamei, to disqualify a tevul yom. Because even though the mechusar matzah physically it's lacking in action, nevertheless, that can be overcome by the fact that the mechusar kapara is a lower level of tumah. So in the world of tumah, that's a lower level. And that lower level can allow you to learn from tevul yom. That's why from mechusar kiburim alone, you couldn't learn it. Because you could speak conceptually about mechusar kiburim being something where there's a necessity for kapara. And that necessity for kapara is what generates the disqualification. Versus tevul yom that doesn't have that. On the other hand, once you have tamei and mechusar kiburim, you've already dismissed the kapara aspect of it being something that is necessary in order to be disqualified, because you have the regular tumah, or a person who's tamei, like tamei sheretz, tamei meit, being disqualified. And so therefore the common denominator between them is that tumah disqualifies. And in that sense, mechusar kiburim, even though you need an action to get rid of that tumah, similar to tamei, that in and of itself is not enough differentiated from tevul yom, because it's a lower level of tumah. That lower level of tumah then allows you to learn to tevul yom, which is a higher level of tumah. So tamei is written, mechusar kiburim is written. You could learn tevul yom from those two. And then why does the Torah expressly say that tevul yom is disqualified? Kasavar Rabba, who brought this drusha down, believes mechusar kiburim dezav kezav dami. That a mechusar kiburim of a zav still retains the level of tumat hazav. So now, if you look in Rashi, Rashi tells you what the nafkaminot are. Mechusar kiburim dezav kezav, hu adin the mitzora. First of all, he says it's not just applicable to a zav, it's applicable to any tumah that is also a mechusar kiburim. The classic examples are a zav, a zav gedola, a mitzora, mitzorat. All of those have this requirement that after they are cleansed of their tumah, they bring a korban on the eighth day. So all of those mechusar kiburim, and Rashi just says chad minayu nakat. Give you one example, but that's just paradigmatic for any mechusar kiburim. And now the nafkamina is leinyan kodshim shelo hutar etzlo havilu kilo lo taval. When it comes to consume kodashim, enter into the mikdash, it's the equivalent as if he never went to the mikveh. V'imachalo, if you eat kodashim b'tumat aguf, chayav karet, you are still chayav karet. Oh. the other nafkamina is, if nagabo, if you touch kodoshim or any item, tam'an libno b'em rishon v'sheni, it's as if you're still an av hatumah as a zav, or as a mitzorah. And the tumah that you convey will be from that level of av hatumah, not the reduced level. What Rashi takes literally, what it said here, that a mechusar kippurim of a zav is literally like a zav. He has the same status of a zav. He interacts with kodoshim, chayav karet. He touches items like kodoshim, makes them tamei as if he was a zav. Once you do that, then the argument of klishata tumah goes away. The reason you said you can learn tful yom from mechusar kippurim is because you're dropping gradations of tumah. You have tamei, tful yom, and then the lowest level is mechusar kippurim. The lowest level is disqualified. Certainly, tful yom is disqualified. But now, if you tell me that a mechusar kippurim of zav is on the same level as a zav, you don't have any weakened tumah now. The mechusar kippurim is the same as the zav, and therefore, there's no way to learn from mechusar kippurim to tful yom, because now the fact that mechusar kippurim is mechusar maaseh is significant. The fact that it lacks the maaseh, where tful yom doesn't, if they're on the same, let's say, level of tumah, in that sense, there's no klishata, tumata, then there could be a problem with the chumrah, mechusar kippurim, you can't learn to tful yom. That's Rashi's view as what it means, mechusar kippurim, gzav, gzav dami, and then the Gemara is going to challenge that, but obviously there's another side to this who argues on that, and says mechusar kippurim of gzav is not like a zav. The Bali Tosafot do not like Rashi's explanation. He says, v'kasha the perusho. It's difficult to understand. Deep game, the mandamar lav kizav dami. That means according to one who says that a mechusar kippurim v'zav is lav kizav dami, late lebe karet. You would not be chayav karet if they ate kodoshim or entered into the mikdash. And the Balei Tosafot point out that that is not true. We have lists of places in Shas where it's clear that mechusar kippurim is chayav karet for consuming kodoshim or for entering into the mikdash. It says, v'dochak lomar, the kol ania etien, now you're going to have to tell me in Shas, every time it says that you're chayav karet for this, it's only like the opinion that says mechusar kippurim zav kizav dami. It says that's a dochak, to say that it's only according to one opinion, not according to both opinions. Then he takes up the second one of second issue of Rashi, which is tumah. The old mashaperish kuntres linyam ninopo rishon b'sheni the kodesh tema. It says makes no sense. Halo tful yom enin bonim rishon b'sheni the tumah. At Tvo Yom, we already explained, there's no Rishon and Sheni Tumah. Tvo Yom is a Sheni of the Tumah. If Tvo Yom is a Sheni of the Tumah, how can a Mechusar Kippurim all of a sudden be an Ava Tumah? How do you jump from being a Sheni of the Tumah to Tvo Yom, and then all of a sudden become an Ava Tumah? So Koshke Mechusar Kippurim is at a lower level. And so the Balei Tosafot say, V'dokach Numar, it says again, it's very difficult to suggest, the Kulu the Hai Demilo, the Sota, Rabbonan, the Abashmo, sorry, Gmandar Mechusar Kippurim, Zav, Lav, Zav, Domi. Now you're going to tell me everywhere in Shas, where it tells us that a Tvul Yom and a Mechusar Kippurim are lower levels of Tumah, that's only according to the opinion that says Mechusar Kippurim, Zav, Lav, Zav, Domi? Doesn't make sense. Umer Farish, Rav Rabbeinu Chaim, the Nafkamina is Le'inyan Pesach, Haba, Bitum'ah. For a Pesach that comes Bitum'ah. This is something that came out in the Gemara and Pesachim when we learned it. But we know that there are certain rules with regard to Korban HaPesach. Someone who's Tamei on Pesach Rishon brings it on Pesach Sheni. If the Rov HaTzibur are Tameim on Pesach Rishon, then we have Tumah Dukhuya B'Tzibur, and they bring the Pesach B'Tum'ah. Lo Yishtarei B'Tzibur Ela Tamei Meit. The only thing that is qualified to be brought in the Tzibur B'Tum'ah is Tumah Tameit. Ru Adin Tamei Sheretz, and that's true of a Tamei Sheretz as well. The difference between tumah that exudes from the body and tumah that is conveyed to you from outside forces. That is, first of all mechuser kippurim are a derivative of tumah yotza migufa, or tumah yotze migufo. It's a tumah that emanates from the person themselves. It's self-generated tumah. That means that a zav has emissions that make him tameh. A nida has emissions that make her tmeah. A mitzora has the ga'im that make him tameh. As opposed to tumat tameh and tumat sheret, which are tumot that come from exogenous items. From a mate makes you tameh mate. A sheret, which is another tumah, makes you into a rishon the tumah. That tumah that is conveyed is outside tumah that affects the individual. The gore to the Korban HaPesach, the dispensation to do it bitum'ah is only with tumah that came from outside variables. Only tuma that was conveyed to you, not tuma that yotzei migufo, not tuma that emanates from the person themselves. So that would be one nafkamina. How do you view the mechuser kippurim over here of zav kezav dami? If you think it is like a zav, that means that he is in the level of tuma that is exuded from the goof, disqualified from being the pesach bit tuma. According to what it says, mechuser kippurim zav lav kezav dami, then he's dropped down a level of tuma where he's no longer classified as someone who has tuma yotzei migufo. That's the case. He can't participate in a pesach abav bit tuma. So that's one nafkamina. Says Od Nafkamina Linyan Tuma Dukuya Bitzibur. Also with regards to when you say Tuma Dukuya Bitzibur is when the robe at Tzibur is are Tmeim. That robe is determined by Tmei Meitim, not determined by someone who is a Zav, or the fact that Tuma Dukuya Bitzibur is only true like when a Kohen who is Tmei Meit does the Avoda, then that is true that we say Tuma Dukuya Bitzibur. We do not invoke that when the Kohen is Tmei Tuma Zav. So again, there would be a nafkamina whether you think of the chusik b'rim is kezav dami or he's not kezav dami. The Baal Tosafot says that is what the difference is in these opinions, not what Rashi says, whether he's really considered like a zav or that he has tuma like a zav. That is way too high a level of tuma and way too high a level to consider them to be real zavim. That doesn't make any sense. The question is, what type of tuma are they classified as? Are they classified as your classic types of tuma, which are tuma that is brought to the person through outside variables, and therefore they can qualify for all the dispensations with regards to tuma, like bringing the Pesach with tuma dechuya b'tzibur, or do you classify them as being derivatives of tuma sheyotzei migufo, and they still have that classification as tuma yotzei migufo, even if it's a lower level of tuma, it's still classified as kizavdam, still like as if the tuma exuded from you, and therefore you'll be disqualified from participating in a Pesach baba tuma. Or from Tuma Tukuya Bitzibur. That's the nafkamina, whether you think Mechusa Kippurim Zav, Kizav Dami or not. That's the Baal Tosafot feel. The Gemara says, is that really true? Mechusa Kippurim Zav, Kizav Dami? Is that really true? Tanayehi, it's a machloket Tanayim. Titania, Sarfa, Onein, Mechusa Kippurim. The Parah Duma, if it was burnt on the pyre on Har HaZeitim by someone who was an Onein, or someone who was Mechusa Kippurim, Kshera, then it's fine. Yosef Abavli Omer, Onein Kshera, they're an Onein, it's fine. Mechuser Kippurim, Psula. If they're Mechuser Kippurim, then they're disqualified. My love, Bahaka Miflegate. Isn't this the machloket between these two Danaim as to whether a Mechuser Kippurim disqualifies them or invalidates the Paraduma? Mar Savar, Mechuser Kippurim, Zab, Kizab Dami. Rabbi Yosef Abavli believes that a Mechuser Kippurim of Zav has the same din as a Zav, and therefore, a Mechuser Kippurim is Psula. Mar Savar, Lav Kazav Adami. The Tana Kama believes he's not like a Zav, and therefore, he is Shera to work with the Paraduma. Mar says, well, the Kuleyama Kazav Dami. Everybody agrees that Mechuser Kippurim of Zav is Kazav Dami. Baholfa Bahakam Implicate. This is the Machloket in that Braita with regards to the Paraduma. It says with regards to the Paraduma that the Tahor will sprinkle it on the Tamei. So the Kohen who's doing the sprinkling will sprinkle it on the Tamei mate in order to be Mitaher him. The fact that the Pasuk says Vizah HaTahor and gives you the subject of the Pasuk was unnecessary. That is because the Pasuk immediately preceding that says V'lakach Hezov So here it tells you that he will take the hyssop, he'll dip it into the water that has the ashes of the paraduma, and there it says, Ishtahor dips him in. And then it says, next verse begins, that he has to sprinkle it on the tamei, on the third day and the seventh day. And then the pasuk, so there it says, what do you mean, v'izatohor? Of course, v'izatohor. It just said before in the previous pasuk, v'taval b'mayim ishtahor. You don't need a subject in the pasuk, you just said, v'izalatameh. And you would have known the antecedent, or the missing subject. There is the ishtahor, who did the tefillah in the previous pasuk, he's doing the hazah here. The fact that it says, v'izatohor, is completely extraneous. Miklal, shu tameh. That tells you that he's really tameh. Because what it's saying is, If he's not tahor, it doesn't mean that he's completely tahor. It means that he's somewhat tahor. He's tahor in some way. That teaches you that it's voyom is allowed to do para aduma. He's allowed to be the one who processes the para aduma. The special dispensation in the pasuk, that's the pasuk said, v'izah tahor, comes to teach you that he doesn't have to be a real tahor. He has to be someone who has some form of tahara associated with him. What is that? That's its voyom. Voyom goes to the mikveh. That's the first gradation dropping that makes him tahor. That is the practice that they used to have in terms of the para aduma, that they would intentionally make the kohen who was processing the para aduma into a tvul yom, in order that they show that a tvul yom can process a para aduma. Because the tzdukim disagree with this limud. In order to be mafkia from the view of the tzdukim, they used to intentionally make him into tvul yom. Baal Tosafot over here discussed this as well as in other locations like in Yoma, they do discuss the fact that when they say they make him into tvul yom, they really made him into a tvul yom midrabanan. They didn't make him into tvul yom doraita because that was too risky. There could be problems with that. Too much sheretz, too much mate. All those questions. Although the Baal Tosafot over here say at first, they just had the Kohanim touch him. And Kohanim touch him because of the mala of para aduma. Even a person who is not ready for the para aduma makes someone who is tamei. And therefore that tuma was the tuma tvul yom that they used for it. Although then the Baal Tosafot back away and say, you know what? Maybe even tuma tvul yom midoraita. They made him into a tvul yom midoraita. I would just note, if you don't make him into a tvul yom midoraita, then I don't understand how you help out the tzdukim, because the tzdukim don't believe in tuma derabanan, period. If you make him tamei tuma derabanan as a tvul yom, the tzdukim don't subscribe to that. So you're not proving anything to the tzdukim, because they don't think he's a tvul yom. They think that you're doing it as a tvul yom. Could be just as a demonstration, like say he's a tvul yom, but the real way to make sure that you can know that the tvul yom is kasher here, to make him tamei tvul yom mido oraita. That makes him tamei too much sharet, goes to the mikveh, and then he's a tvul yom, and he can process the para aduma. Tosafot discusses how exactly they make him tvul yom. So marzavar tumat kol torah kula. So now, when we say tvul yom is kasher bepara, what type of tvul yom are we speaking about? The Tanakhama believes any tvul yom. Any tvul yom has that classification. That means whether you're tvul yom from tumat sheretz, whether you're tvul yom from tumat amet, whether you're tvul yom from being a mitzora, tvul yom from being a zav, all of those are kshirim lepara. Umar savar, tuma dahach parsha. That when it says there tahor, it's talking about the tuma that's found in that parsha. That's parsha kukat. That's the parsha para duma. She's speaking about tumat mate. So therefore, yokach oneinu tvul yom, the tamei sheretz, the kilei, to become a chomer. Therefore, Rashi takes out the word onein over here, because the psul of onein has nothing to do with tuma, and onein is psul because of his state of being, because of his condition. Whether that means he's patur min mitzvot, whether that means because he is despondent, therefore he's the wrong person to be involved with something that requires simcha or being omed lifnei Hashem. That's why an onein is disqualified. So Rashi takes it out of the yirsa, and therefore he writes just here, hukach tvul yom. The tamei sheretz, the kilei, atu b'kavachom et tvoyom demate. So therefore, you can use a tvoyom demate, because that's what you're talking about in the parsha, it's tumat demate. It says a tvoyom is qualified. So a tvoyom of tamei mate means on the seventh day, after he's now been sprinkled on the third day and the seventh day, he goes to the mikveh, which is what we read in the pasuk, and then at sunset, he'll be completely tahor. So after he goes to the mikveh on that seventh day, he can process the para aduma. And a kavachom et tumat sheretz, tumat sheretz is basically the same thing as tumat mate, but only has one day. Instead of being 7 days, and then on the seventh day you become a tvul yom, tumat sheretz is tumat yom. It's one day worth of tuma. If you go to the mikveh on that day, you become a tvul yom. So kal v'chomer from mate, if a tvul yom of mate is fine, then a tvul yom of sheretz is clearly fine. Aval, mechuser kippurim, the zav, the chamir, mechuser kippurim of zav, which is very chamur, shekein tuma yotza halav mi gufo, because the source of the tuma is inherent to him. It's something from an emission of his. Therefore, lo, they're disqualified. So only tvulei yom of tumat mate and tumat sheretz are qualified, but tvulei yom of a zav, mitzora, zava, all the tumot that require korbanot afterwards, that tvulei yom would be problematic in processing the para, and that's their machloket over here. The machloket is not whether because the brave zav kizav dami, but rather everybody agrees it's kizav dami. The question is, What does the parsha, when it gives you that limud, that tzvul yom is qualified, what type of tzvul yom? According to Tanakh, it means any tzvul yom. No matter how you get to be a tzvul yom, they're all qualified. But Yosef Ababli says no, only a tzvul yom that is relevant to that parsha, which is Tumat Mate, and then by definition, Tumat Sheretz is also included, because Tumat Sheretz is just a gradation below Tumat Mate, it's external Tumat, whereas the problems of Zav and Mitzorah are Tumot that are Yotzei Migufo, which we find everywhere, are higher levels of Tumah and more problematic Tumah, both because they require a 7-day waiting period, as well as Korbanot afterwards, and from the fact that we see in other Halachot, they're disqualified, like Korban HaPesach, where Tumat HaMeit is waived, but it's not waived with regards to a Zav or a Mitzorah. So based on that, he says that that is not included in the Tumot Yom that's mentioned in the Pasuk, namely disqualified. But that's because Mechusir Kippurim of someone who has Tumah Yotzei Migufo is still that higher level of Tumah. Mechusir Mizim Zav is Zav Domi. Just to note that it's supposed to Rashi, the Baalei Tosfot do leave the word Unein in there and say that it does come from a Kal Vachomer, a Limud from Tumah Tameit. Now Rashi explains the reason why an Unein and Mechusir Kippurim are Kshirim when it comes to the processing of the Parah Tumah is because he says, Kodshe Berek Abayiti. It's not Kodshei Mizbeach, it's Kodshei Perek Abayit. And therefore, you don't have any of the requirements that are demanded by the case of Kodshei Mizbeach. And that's why Onein, Mechusar Kippurim are valid. Baalei Tosfot quote Rashi, and they say Vekasha, even though it is Kodshei Perek Abayit, all the psulim of a normal korban apply to a Parah Adumah. And the Gemara and Yoma, as well as the Sifrei, as quoted here by the Baalei Tosfot, say, Shuv Techatat Kariya Rachmana. That's because the Torah calls it a Chatat. Even though it's a Kodshei Perek Abayit, it's done outside the Mikdash, nevertheless, it terms it as a Chatat. And for that reason, it has all the trappings of a Chatat. The reason over here that they are Kshirim and Onein and a Miskusir Kippurim is because of the fact that Tvul Yom is kasher. And that Onein and Mechusir Kippurim come through a Kal V'Chomer for Tvul Yom. She'asar b'nigyat Truma u'mutar v'para. Despite the fact that a Tvul Yom is posel Truma, nevertheless he's qualified to do the para. So certainly an Onein and a Mechusir Kippurim that are not posel Truma, they should be able to process the para. Although, as the Baalei Tosfot point out, that according to the one who says that Mechusir Kippurim Zav, Zav Dami, then you can't learn it out of a Kal V'Chomer, and he obviously would believe that they're not qualified. But here, the Baalei Tosfot say that the source for Onein and Mechusir Kippurim are out of Tvul Yom. That is what's influencing whether you keep the Girsa of Onein in here or not. Rashi says that Onein doesn't belong here because it has nothing to do with Tumat Tameit. It has to do with the fact that you're dealing with Kodshei Perek Abayit. And that's why they're qualified. Yes, by Tvul Yom, if you have that dispensation, then you can extend it to other areas of Tumah. On the other hand, the Baalei Tosfot think the fact that an Onein and Mechusir Kippurim are Mutarim by a Parah Tumah is because of a Kal V'Chomer from Tvul Yom. Then again here, then Onein does belong in this part of the Gemara, because the source for Onein is Tvul Yom. And for that reason, they have their Machloket in the Girsa, which is reflective of their Machloket as to the reason why a Mechusir Kippurim and an Onein are permitted to process the Parah Adumah. Now what the Gemara here does not address, which is somewhat left in limbo, are cases where you have Tumah Yotzei Migufo, but they aren't Mechusir Kippurim. That happens to me by a Zav. A Zav Baal Shtei Re'iyot, only has two emissions, has all the dinim of Tumah, 7 days of Tumah, but he's Tahor. When he goes to the Mikvah on the seventh day and the sun sets, he's Tahor. A Zav with three emissions has the same requirements of 7 days of Tumah. Then Tvul Yom, he goes to the Mikvah on the seventh day, Harav Shemesh, and then he has to bring the Korbanot, Mechusir Kippurim. Over here where we say that they are disqualifying a Tvul Yom of Zav, is that only a Tvul Yom of Zav, where they're also Mechusir Kippurim? The problem or the main issue is that they are not finished their process of Kapara, and that's what disqualifies them? Or is the main issue that Tumah Yotzei Migufo? If that's the case, even a Zav Baal Shtei Re'iyot would be disqualified, because he has Tumah Yotzei Migufo, and Tumah Yotzei Migufo is not included in those things that are Mutarim over here. So even though he's not Mechusir Kapara, so it's not a higher level of Tumah, nevertheless, because he's a Tumah Yotzei Migufo, he would be disqualified. which would seemingly be the reasoning that the Gemara is giving over here, which is Tumah Yotzei Migufo, but it's all in the context of Mechuser Kippurim. And the Gemara never really addresses the case where you have Tvul Yom of Tumah Yotzei Migufo without Mechuser Kippurim. Right now, Mechuser Bigadim Minalon. How do we know that a Kohen that works without his Bigadim on, that he is disqualified from doing Avodah? Amar Rav Avuha, Amar Rav Yochanan, Umata Ba Mishmet Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Boam says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and some lean towards saying that it derives from Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's son, Damar Kra, V'chagata Otam Avnet, Aron Uvanav, V'chavashta Lahem Migbaot, V'chavashta Lahem Kuna L'chukat Odam. It says that you will put on their belts, you'll put on their hats, and then they will have their Kuna L'chukat Odam. Is much big delayem aleyem kunatam aleyem. When they're wearing their clothes, they have their kuna. Ain't big delayem aleyem, ain't kunatam aleyem. They don't wear their clothes, they're not kohanim. The end of the pasuk is vaitalehem kuna lukukat olam. When do they become kohanim? When they're wearing their uniform. They're not wearing the uniform, they're not kohanim. The truth is that this limud of the Gemara, that is much big delayem aleyem kunatam aleyem, turns out to be machloket Rambam and Ramban as to how to view it. Do you view that now, that there's a specific mitzvah for a Kohen to put his clothing on? And that he has a mitzvah to put on his big day kuna? Because not only does his big day kuna put his uniform on and make him into a Kohen, but there's also the chavod of tifaret. There is an aspect of the big day kuna that are the glory of Hashem and the chavod, the honor of God. And therefore, there's a mitzvah to say for a Kohen to dress himself in the big day kuna. Or do you simply see the big day kuna is a prerequisite for his ability, a facilitator for him doing the avoda and the mikdash. So the Rambam says that it is a separate mitzvah that they dress in their clothing, not only because it makes them into a kohen, but also because it's the chavod of the tifaret. The Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvot argues and says that putting on big day guna is just a prerequisite or a makshir to make you into a kohen that is able to do the avoda, but not that there's a separate mitzvah to put on the big day guna. Without big day kuna, you're not a kohen. So that's why you gotta put on your big day kuna, because you need kohenim to do the avoda. There's no mitzvah in particular to put on the big day kuna in order to perform the avoda. And that might also have nafkaminot as to how closely associated is a kohen without bigadim on to a zar. If the Ramban, where the uniform is a prerequisite for being a kohen, then without the clothing of the kohen on, without that uniform, he is by definition a zar. And that's what disqualifies him. If you believe that there's a separate mitzvah to say to put on bigadim, then the lack of bigadim for the kohen might not make him into a zar. It means that he failed to do the mitzvah to say. And that's what disqualifies him over here. But to make him into a full-fledged zar, maybe not. Maybe that is a lacking in his kuhuna, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he is a full-fledged zar and should be treated like a zar. Zar has a lotas say, or a negative commandment that charges him with not engaging in the avoda in the mikdash. But a kohen who is supposed to be doing the avoda is lack of bigadim. If you say the bigadim are a prerequisite, then he's no different than a zar. If you say that the bigadim are a mitzvah to say, then they fail to do the mitzvah to say. He's not exactly like a zar. He's a downgraded kohen. And therefore, they may not have the exact same din. So how you think of the mitzvah of big day kuna might also impact on what you think the kohen's standing is when he's not wearing the big day kuna. Napko? Is that the source for it? Meholtam napko? Don't we have another source? The Tanya. Minayin lishtuya yayin shimabad chilel. How do you know that if a person who was intoxicated does a voda, that they are disqualified and they are invalidating the korban? Tabalomar. Yayin v'shechar alteish. This is in Pashat Shmini, right after the death of Nadav and Abihu. This is the parsha that is told to Aaron at that time. He says, "Yem shecher al teish datav and afitach v'vachem ol moed v'lo tamutu hukat olam d'lartechem." Meaning that if you do it, tamutu, you will die. Ulaavdil ben hakodesh uben hakol uben hatamei uben hatohor ulaorot b'nei sil kol hukim hashem ber shem lehem biad Moshe. That avdil ben hakodesh uben hakol tells you that which happened in the previous pasuk will differentiate between kodesh and hakol. That if you work in the mikdash and intoxicated, not only you chayav mitah, but you're also profaning. You are mechalel the avoda. So between those two, you learn that someone who is intoxicated when they do avoda, number one is they're chayav mita, and number two is that they are mechalel the avoda. Now, mechusef megadim, shlo rechutz, yadayim reglayim minayim. How do we know that that same din applies to someone who's not wearing the big day kuhuna? Or someone who entered into the mikdash without washing their hands and their feet, which is a requirement, a prerequisite for doing avoda in the mikdash. Tomalomar, hukah, l'gzera shava. We have a gzera shava of the word koke in all these instances. You can see Rashi brings you the psukim. By shtui yayin, we have over here, hukat olam, l'dorotoichem. B'mechusa begadim, we just read the pasuk says, v'ayta lahem kuna l'chukat olam. There again, you have the word hukah. And very fitzad, yadayim ra'ayim says, v'ayta lahem chak olam. That it will be for them also a koke. So the word koke appears by all three of these items. Therefore, we have a gzera shava between them, begadim to yayin shekar, and it's mechutz yadayim ra'ayim to shtui yayin. It means that all three of them are subject then to a chiyuv mita, bidei shamayim, if they're done, without putting on the big day kuna, or without washing one's hands, or if they're intoxicated. But in addition to that, it also tells you, if you violate that and do the avoda, it will be michu lao. Now, if you look at the top Tosafot over here, the Rabbeinu Tam asks the question, how could it be that if you have kukah we learned before, is la'akev. That's something that must be done. If you don't do it, it fails. So why do you need zer shava, kukah, if by definition, kukah is me'akev? So here the Rabbeinu Tam makes an important point. Mikanume Rabbeinu Tam, damarina v'nachot, komakom shnemar, Torah, v'chukah, ena le'akev. The principle is established in the Gemara v'nachot, that anytime the words Torah or hukah are used, that is an indication that whatever procedure is being done there or required over there is me'akev. But he says they function differently. La b'chad daimaninu. They don't function the same way. The kukah mikzera shava. Anytime you hear the words kukah, it's a gzera shava. Over here, it's a shtuya yayin. And that's what tells you that it is locked in. And it is mikalel avodah. On the other hand, Torah, mi mashmu'uta. From the word itself, inherently, it means that this is the procedure. And this procedure is me'akev. And so he says they function differently. And that's why you need the gzera shava over here. It's not because kukah inherently means la'akev. Because through a gzera shava, hukah creates the ikul. The other hand, the word Torah, in and of itself, creates that ikul. Therefore, you won't need any gzera shava. Just the mention of the word Torah would be sufficient. So then, how come you brought before that the chilul comes from the fact that they're not wearing the begadim? Because they're only kohanim when they're wearing the begadim. If they're not wearing the begadim, they are zarim. But now you're telling me that we have another source for it. The fact that it says the word chok tells me that there's chilul associated with them. Where it says, I mehotam. If it was written there, havamina hani milei avoda dezar chayalav mita, in cases where a zar would be subject to chiyuv mita, that is only true by four avodot. That we already learned back in the Gemara and Yoma. We mentioned it earlier in the Masechta, because the pasuk says me'avodatem avodat matana, that you do the avoda matana v'azar karev yumat. The zar who performs that avoda dies. And there, the Gemara and Yoma says it has to be avodat matana v'lo avodat siluk. It has to be an avoda that is not removing something, but rather an avoda that is accomplishing something. And then it also has to be an avoda tama. That's a complete avoda, which means that not an avoda sheisha kare avoda. Not that it's a preliminary to another avoda, but it is the final stage of avoda. And the Gemara and Yoma says there are only four avodot that qualify for that, where a zar will be chayav mita, svikat adam, hakarat emurim, nisuch hamayim, and nisuch hayayin. Those are all types of avoda where they are avodat matana. They're also avodat tamad, they're the last in the line of the process for each of those items. Therefore, those are the four avodot where you have a chiyuv mita. Avodah, the inzar chayav lemita, emalo. So you would say that only when a zar is chayav mita, that's where the kohen, first of all, is chayav mita. And number two is michalel the avodah. Only in those four avodot would he be michalel the avodah, that is big day kuna. But if it was something that the zar is not chayav mita for, there wouldn't be any chilul for that. Now, even though ubzar, Rashi points out, Ashrachan chilul, lo chalak ben avodah sheyesh b'mita, lo avodah she'ein b'mita. And even though for a zar we find no distinction between an avodah that has mita and an avodah that does not have mita, any avodah that he does is mechulal. Over here, with source for the fact that a kohen is disqualified from avodah, when he doesn't wear his begadim, when he's mechus begadim, it's coming from shtuye yayin. And by shtuye yayin, it says melotamoto, that they won't die from the fact that they were intoxicated when they did the avodah, and then you correlate that with the begadim, that would say that the mechusar begadim is only situations in which there's a few mitah associated with it. And there is the application of kukah. tell you, first of all, you're chayav mita, and number two, to tell you that it is me'akev or it's mechalel the avodah. But then that would be limiting in nature to say that only in those four avodot where there is a few mitah, Pusir Begadim ends up with few mitah, but also is only then mechalel avodah as a kohen with regards to those avodot that are associated with mitah. And that's what the Kamash Malon comes to teach you. Don't say that it's limited only to those cases of few mitah, because you learn it from Shtrei Yayin. But we learn it from the Pasuk in Shmot that tells you that when you don't have your big day kuhana on, you're not a kohen. That teaches you that there's Kilul Avodah, not just limited to cases of Zarim. There's also Kilul Avodah in other Avodot, because the kohen becomes like a Zar. And therefore, all Avodah, like by a Zar, that is Mechulal, would be Mechulal with a kohen who appears without his big day kuhana on him. Mashpalan is that even in areas where a Zar is not Chayav Mita, if the kohen goes without his big day kuhana, he also disqualifies the Avodah, and it is Mechulau. We're going to stop here, four lines down on the top of Yudkat Amud Aleph.